The views expressed throughout this podcast are solely those of myself and the guest and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of ATCC or any other institution. Hello, and welcome to Behind the Biology, brought to you by ATCC. I'm your host, Dave Yarmush, and this is our final episode with Anila Chakrabarty, Head of Cryobiology Research and Development at ATCC. If you haven't listened to the first two episodes, I recommend it. We've changed up our typical lineup, so the majority of Anila's personal story is limited to the first episode, and the second details the importance of thaw-ready cells on the business of science. Today, however, we're talking about the microquant system. Thank you, Anila, for coming back one last time, or at least as far as this series is concerned. This time, like I said, we're going to be talking more about the microquant portfolio, which, as of this recording, has just officially launched. I saw the celebration party happening. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
From what I understand, it's a little bit different, at least, from the thaw-ready cells, and in some ways that I'm sure you can shed more light on than I could summarize. The line itself comprises quantitated microbial reference materials, which is intended for easier quality control testing, I believe. Is that right?
That is correct. And this is a very unique set of portfolio products. Maybe I can go directly into describing the capabilities of the portfolio of the product.
Yeah, please. I've got questions, but I'd love to hear what you have to say first.
Sure. So if you take a step back and try to look at how microorganisms, shifting focus from cells, we talked about thaw-ready cells, shifting focus from that to microorganisms, especially prokaryotes, if we look at the application space, there is a huge application space out there. And depending on what field you are working on, you may or may not really have a total feel of that. But to describe it plainly, we share this planet with all the different types of microorganisms, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are great. Some of them are not so great for us from safety perspective, right? We came out of a pandemic and whatnot. We know for sure very well, right?
Yeah, acutely.
And if you think about it, anything that goes inside our body, right, majority of the things, they have to be tested for different regulatory body guidelines, they have to be tested against presence of not only presence of these microorganisms, but also potential for microbial growth, right? So there exists a regulatory framework around microorganisms, and majority of these microorganism regulatory guidelines and guidances are built around ATCC organisms.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a distinct opportunity right there to take in our ATCC organisms that are being used in this wide field of applications, starting from food, cosmetics, to pharmaceutical products, injectables, you name it. So this huge field of application we serve with our products, ATCC products, but there are specific requirements when it comes to how we evaluate the outcome of standardized assays. So it is much more regulated in a very tight regulation. The field is highly regulated, right? And there, because you'll be hard-pressed to find any regulatory guidance without ATCC organism, right? So this is a great opportunity for us, almost responsibility on our part to come up with a very easy-to-use product that will meet the regulatory guidance. So that's what the microquant portfolio is. We have 12 SKUs of product that we launched. So that's, in a nutshell, what is microquant.
Okay, that's actually really interesting. You piqued one of my interests. How much of the microquant portfolio, or maybe it's just the regulation, is geared towards known pathogens versus the class of organisms that are called adventitious agents? Is that a primary concern? You basically described them a second ago.
That's an excellent question. When it comes to standardized use of microorganisms for release assays, when you are releasing a product, you need to assay them. There are different regulatory guidances, and those are based on monographs, which essentially prescribes how you should look at microorganism growth and things like that, right? So majority of them, like I was saying, are written based on ATCC organisms, right? Mm-hmm. And right now we came up with two monographs that are relevant to USP 51 and USP 61. One is high CFU, essentially high concentration of microbes, and another is low CFU, low concentration of microbes. And CFU is colony forming unit, right? So you have two sets of assays together. They are up to close to 50% of all the different regulatory tests that people undergo when releasing a product and things like that. So especially USP 51, I mean, there are no alternatives to our organisms. So it's a very timely product because microquant, again, focuses on the ease of use, convenience part, while delivering a standardized output in terms of colony forming unit.
So then what makes the microquants easier to use than, say, purchasing these products from us wholesale?
Sure.
Or a la carte?
So that's my favorite question, to be honest, so far. If you imagine you are a QC release lab or a CRO, right? What you are going to do is you are going to look up this. Say you are working with USP 51 organisms or USP 61 organisms. So what you'll do is you'll have five or six different microorganisms in your list. You'll order from ATCC. You'll receive a vial, right? And now you need to culture these microorganisms. Mm-hmm. Each one of them have, of course, different prescribed culture guidances, right? You do all that, you need to grow them. Now, not only just grow them, you are going to run parallel tests, right? So you need to expand them following a specific guideline. You need to create stocks, right, that you can go back to. And while you are doing all that, you need to make sure the microorganisms didn't change genomically for some reason, right? Because they're easier. They don't care about your standard assay, right? They right. can't change based on environmental factors, right? So you need to prove that, right? That is a massive operation right there, right? And that is 2 weeks of workflow just before you're ready to spread your plate with a specific bacteria that is within the monograph. With microquant, that entire 2 weeks of workflow is effectively condensed into less than a minute process. Sounds unreal, but this is true because we are providing a palette, right, that has required number of microorganisms stabilized, right, And it can be conveniently stored at 2 to 8 degrees centigrade refrigerator, right, in your laboratory. And you can essentially rehydrate this pallet and you are ready to spread your plate. So your 2 weeks of work is reduced to less than a minute, essentially 30 seconds, right?
Okay. Since we're on the subject of cryopreservation, and that is a radical improvement into an existing procedure that presumably anyone working in the bioproduct space that seeks those regulations is going to need to work with, how is it that you are able to achieve that level of stability for, you know, numerous different microorganisms that it can, you know, be a simple pellet? I guess ultimately, how did you reduce the 2 week workflow by 2 weeks?
That's again a great question. Now, the answer sort of is hidden in the question that you asked, that, well, how did we reduce? Essentially, your stability improves as you lower the temperature, right? Because, you know, you don't have opportunities for molecular reaction, degradative reactions to take place, right? So there are products in the market that aims at, well, they are refrigerated. But this is where a very practical outlook is helpful. There are many release testing laboratories, we learned that they don't have a freezer. It will be, even clinical labs, it'll be of great benefit if they can just get something from their refrigerator, and it doesn't need the specialized skills of a microbiologist spreading the plates and things like that, right? Expanding the plates, not spreading, expanding the plates.
Okay.
So that's where we went for. So we restricted ourselves with the stability from 2 to 8 degrees centigrade. Also, we said, well, it needs to be instantaneously dissolvable, right? It should dissolve fast. It should go from a format to an application really easy, right? So it dissolves really fast. There are a couple of videos on the website. I'm going to direct you towards that. These are fast dissolving pallets. Also, it doesn't have a hold time. So moment after dissolving, you can take it out from the refrigerator and dissolve and right away use it. So that becomes, this is the engineering, I would say, simple answer of, this is format engineering, format and delivery engineering that we were able to bring in. I was able to bring in right there to solve a practical problem. Maybe in day-to-day activity, somebody who is used to culturing and whatnot, they accepted the pain point, right? But now they have an option, right? They can do many things faster, sooner.
That's incredible, because in my head, what I'm hearing is that you achieved room temperature superconductors.
Well,
the difference of minus 80 to 4 degrees, that's a dramatic improvement in terms of cellular stability.
Yes. I mean, not only that, sometimes when you are bringing cells or products in from even a little bit low temperature, they're not ready. These are prokaryotes, right? Mm-hmm. They're not ready. Or even if they're eukaryotes, they're cell wall eukaryotes, they're not ready to function like before. So they have a thaw period. But we even wanted to cut that so that we are ready when you are, that kind of framework. But I truly appreciate the comparison with the room temperature superconductor, even though the field is going through its motions right now.
Of course.
Yeah. So from that regard, I don't want to compare our room temperature. This is achievable. What do we beat?
Well, it must be. You did it. It's really interesting that you said that so many laboratories don't have a freezer. That is something I would never have considered to be true. It's at least something I would never have assumed. And I think that raises a really interesting follow-up to this. And clearly it's at least part of the goal of the microquant to be able to serve that apparently quite large group of you know, people of laboratories and so forth that previously would have had to make the choice, where do we put a freezer? How do we afford a minus 80? How do we maintain a minus 80? All the difficulties that come with that, because it's not, you know, you don't go down to Sears and pick up a freezer and just pop it in and it works, right? It is more complicated than that. And I mean, one of my first thoughts about the implications of this microquant system is that there is a tremendous amount of logistics and cost savings that are now available.
Yes. And at a very convenient framework, this is available. So from end user point of view, one of the biggest contributions there is that they're getting these really important cell types directly from ATCC in a very convenient format. So directly from ATCC is also another advantage. Means that, I mean, if you put on the propensity of these organisms to change genetically and things like that, any culture condition, we have seen that, increases the chance of genetic drift, right? So you are getting these are directly from ATCC in a very convenient format that you can store in a very practical way in your lab, right? It doesn't get better than that, right? And what we are doing, we'll have to expand the portfolio. This is a platform technology. It's not, it opens the door. This is an example where we were able to open the door to future possibilities with a technology, right? That is not essentially doing the, you know, day-to-day things. You know, it is a technology that was built from ground up with customer inputs and everything.
What I really like about it is we have spoken across guests and episodes on this podcast more than a couple of times about the significance of getting these products directly from ATCC. And it's not just that, you know, we are a company, we sell things, and so, of course, buy from us, we want the money. But it is really, like you said, when it comes down to, from a cost-saving measure, getting something second or third hand can be really appealing. But cellular drift, genetic drift is a problem. And
yes,
without the standardization that you can get, you don't know what Dr. So-and-so's lab has done. Did they successfully freeze or refrigerate their products the way that they had meant to? Were they grown on the same media? Or was there a minor difference that might be impactful? Those things that aren't known can become really problematic over time. And the more generations distant you are, the more that's an issue. And so, like I was saying, what I really like about this is that the microquant is a solution to that.
Yes.
Right? It's not just another product in our portfolio. It is directly answering the problem of why someone would go and pick up some product from another laboratory, from another group that happens to have cells.
Right. I mean, that's, if you think of it, this product is targeted towards biopharmaceutical industry, right?
Mm-hmm.
By definition, they don't have time, right? But this is one thing that is almost like rate limiting step. You have to make sure the product that you are putting out in the market is safe to use. And how do you prove that? Through these processes. What do you use? These organisms, right? From ATCC and whatnot. You have the choice to grow them yourself. If you want to keep control over the genetic drift, and other things, yes, that is always there. That is the most kosher way of doing things when it comes to QC. And a lot of CROs and biopharmaceutical companies, I know, bite the bullet and do it that way, right? Or This is an option that is available directly from ABCC. These are single-use products. You dissolve it, it is ready for you to test your product. So you can test more and you have less reliance on specialized knowledge of expanding the cells and things like that, right? You can store it conveniently for a limited period of time, yes. But then the payoff is you are confident that whatever you are putting out in the market, that is based on a solid framework, right? It satisfies the guidance that is there. And FDA will be happy. You will have less problems, right? So, I mean, I'm saying FDA means, you know, any regulatory body will be happy, right? So that's the framework. And to develop this, we inverted the innovation funnel, essentially. It was not a technology looking for an answer. It was a problem that right. was answered through, and it is not simple, you say cryopreservation or, you know, lyophilization, or this is not that technology. We were able to create the technology ground up. Did I answer your question?
You did, David? Wonderfully. And oh. I'm pondering over the idea of having a problem and finding the answer seems so intuitive, but I know in science, any kind of development, finding an answer to search for a problem is so enticing.
Yes. Yeah. I want to develop. I have this solution. What problem it fits to? No. I mean, this is a classic example where we did it. We inverted it. That's why I say it is an inverted innovation. And it was a strategic effort to do that because, you know, I was searching for that real pain point, which can have a great impact. Remember, these are the next generation ATCC products. And this is a platform technology. You can put in many different prokaryotes through the same thing. So it's going into an ecosystem of products that are essentially helping the next generation drug release, next food application and things like that.
And I think it's going to be all the more valuable for it. That's fantastic. I say this, I feel, every time I talk to you, but I'm looking forward to seeing where this goes and how much it gets adopted. I've got very high expectations for it.
Thank you.
And that should come as no surprise. You are obviously very gifted as a leader and as a scientist, and there's no doubt that this is going to be everything that it sounds like it should be to me. I very much hate to say this, and I can't. It is what it is. We're out of time today.
Oh, really?
So I appreciate. I know that went very quickly. It always does when we're having this kind of great talk. But thank you so much. I am sure we'll be in contact over, you know, in the future, to honestly just so I could pick your brain more.
Sure, anytime. All right.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, David. The questions were, like I said, I didn't prepare for anything. I mean, I knew the concept. It's really great having this discussion. I think we were able to really focus things on things that anybody who is listening to the podcast will be able to start thinking, you know?
It's of no surprise that so much of biological standardization and regulation begins in ATCC product lines, but what is less obvious is how quantities and quantification itself impact the ability to measure standards. The MicroQuant system seeks to resolve that for as many product lines as Neelay and his team can produce, vastly improving quality control from a reproducibility standpoint, but also in terms of ease of access and use. This is going to conclude our series with Neelay Chakrabarty, but keep an ear out for the next Behind the Biology.